A month ago, we started with a short series on the subject of love. We had the first 2 weeks and in between our Pentecost Sunday and today, the final in the trilogy. Love is never words alone. Our scripture in 1 John chapter 3 begins with a question, a soul-searching question. And it is as if we can imagine, remember, this was written 2,000 years ago. We would say, my, but people were exactly the same as we are. Have you ever looked at somebody in amazement, behaving badly, and somebody that you know is a Christian? And haven't you sometimes wondered, could it be? Is it true? Is that how a Christian does it? That was exactly, I believe, the mood behind what John was wrestling with. Listen how he phrases it. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before Him and whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts and He knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God and we receive from Him whatever we ask, because we obey His commandments and do what pleases Him. And this is His commandment, that we should believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He has commanded us. All who obey His commandments abide in Him, and He abides in them. And by this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit that He has given us. And here ends our scripture reading. May scripture have meaning in your life and in mine this very day. It was a little amusing in the first service this morning, added to our little trio that plays in the early morning service. We now have John Harbaugh, and people, if you hear that man play the violin, it is just amazing. It just transformed the church again this morning. And I'll tell you what the funny part was, because we're now going to talk to another about another musical called Fiddler on the Roof. And afterwards, it suddenly struck me. I said, our fiddler wasn't on the roof this morning. He was standing right. Have you ever seen the musical Fiddler on the Roof? I'm sure most of us have. And those among us who have been married for many years and who know the musical may even have sometimes repeated some of the delightful dialogue from Fiddler on the Roof to one another. Tink and I do it from time to time, especially this part. It is where Tevye, the main character, asks his wife, Goldie, do you love me? Goldie says, you're a fool, Tevye. He says, I know, but do you love me? She says, do I love you? For 25 years, I've washed your clothes, I've cooked your meals, I've cleaned your house, I've given you children, I milked the cow. After 25 years, why talk about love right now? I'm your wife, Tevye. As if that says everything. And then he sings, I know, but do you love me? And then she sings shyly, I suppose I do. And he responds with a smile, and I suppose I love you too. Little bit of reality in this world of ours. People who truly love and care for one another never ever stop telling each other about the strong love that binds them. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. Let us tell one another when we still can. But then on the other hand, talking about our love for each other is never enough. Because that's what Scripture said. And that's where we are right now saying to one another, just remember one thing. Love is never words alone. And that's where John begins his explanation that love is never words alone. Because he asks this searching question that we've often asked. And oh Lord, I'm afraid to admit. But people may have even asked themselves when they were looking at me. What's that guy doing in the pulpit? How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? You can hear the astonishment, the surprise in his voice. Obviously, if a person with possessions sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help, how can God's love possibly be in that person? Yes, at times we discover deep in ourselves and recognize in others the same surprising fact. We claim to be Christians and we talk with one another about God's love in us, but seeing how we sometimes behave and how we deal with one another, people quietly wonder, how can God's love possibly be in that person? Love is action. Love is never words alone. There is no love for God that is not coupled with love for people. The self-righteous, self-centered, lone ranger kind of Christian, let's face it, is basically no Christian at all. Because love is action, never words alone. The gospel mentions numerous occasions where Jesus encountered the Pharisees. And I must make one thing clear, read the Bible. It was never the Jewish faith that offended Jesus. Never ever. He himself was a Jew. And from his early boyhood, he respected the traditions and the faith and the religion of the Jews. What made Jesus so angry that he had outbursts? It's recorded in the Gospels. His anger was directed time and time again. It was those who used their so-called religion to elevate themselves and then used their religion as a bludgeon to beat others down that became the object of their scorn. And that was the problem that Jesus had with the church of his time. And it still happens through the centuries. Because love is action, it's never words alone. It's a known fact that a major portion of the world's wealth is concentrated, and this is the surprising fact, in so-called Christian nations. Now that makes one think, if you think, well, most of the wealth in the world currently is amongst Christian nations, then you begin to think, but wait a minute. Does God have a plan with this? Was there some scheme why this happened? What better plan, after all, could God have for meeting the needs of the unfortunate of this world than to get His people to share out of their abundance? There's enough for everybody. Often it's just stockpiled in the wrong places. Recently read a moving report of a Christian woman who was part of a delegation who visited Darfur. And Darfur is often in the news nowadays. And that land has known so much suffering and despair. And she went there. And she got the shock of her life. She saw the small children with the swollen bellies of malnutrition. She saw the diseased and dying by the thousands from the ravages of war and drought. And she said afterwards, I got so angry with God. How could this be? I felt out like screaming out against God. Why all this? She says, and suddenly I became very still. And I thought. And then I realized, my God, this poverty that I see around me, it's really God screaming at me. When are you going to wake up? It is an accusation coming to our address. Love is action, never words alone. We are God's plan. I believe it with all my heart for the caring of the unfortunate in Cocoa Beach, in the Space Coast, in America. I know what's waiting. A few weeks from now, I hope to be in my fatherland. I know, because I grew up there. I know where to go, and no tourists ever go there. I know where to go, and I'll show you poverty and pain and misery as it exists at some places in America that will make us weep. Our task is caring. Our message is love. And later this morning we will gather as a congregation, seeking to further decide what type of church we want to be, what type of church we should be, as we formulate the emphasis and the nature of our ministry for times to come. And after 4 years as minister of this church, and it was not easy. 2-3 weeks ago, I became aware of an inner unsettledness deep within me. And it brought me to the moment where I finally, when we called our Kivadas group together, I said to them, guys, girls, it's time for me to step back. We have fantastic leadership in this church. We have people who've been there, done that. People who can do so much. But the first initiative that this church voted on the 30th of April, 2 years ago, was the initiative to reform our ministry, to go out into Cocoa Beach, to go out into the Space Coast, and finally to go to the ends of the world with the love of Christ burning in our lives. And I asked my fellow leaders, let me go now. This is where I need to concentrate most of my strength in the remaining time that I pray to still to have ahead. And they answered my call. I'm so delighted to say they accepted it. And under new leadership, our Kivadas group will move on from this day on. We as a church should refuse to be called part of God's plan for the safe space coast and the suffering world and yet do nothing about it. Christian love is always centered in the needs of others, whether they are sitting beside us in the pew, whether they live across the street, and some of them do because they sleep on the beach, or are scattered across the world. Our love can never be words alone. Jesus taught us a secret that would forever change our lives and our relationships with one another and also with the rest of the world. Jesus referred to all the laws of the Hebrew Testament, and there are many, there are thousands. Respectfully. And then he turned around and he said, but I now give you a new commandment. And that's exactly how it is recorded in Scripture. I give you a new commandment, Jesus said, that you love one another. And just as I have loved you, and this is raising the bar, just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. And then comes the challenge. Then comes the moment that our Lord and our Savior whom we profess literally took the glove and threw it at our feet. Literally drew a line that we need to cross, because he continued, by this, meaning the love that you have for one another, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. That's the shibboleth. That's the test. No matter how fine you sing, how fine you talk, how beautifully you pray, if you do not love one another, if we are negative about some of us, if we ignore one another, if we hold grudges against one another, if we fail to love, this church will fail to be a true church of Jesus Christ. And the very future that we are seeking to secure today will be in jeopardy, even in spite of the glorious history and what has come about in more than 60 years. In spite of great deeds of the past, and yes, even in spite of the imaginative future programs that we are putting before our congregation today, we will fail, because Christian love is never words alone. When you and I deal with one another as part of the same church family, are we giving an accurate witness to the love of Jesus Christ? Or are we sowing seeds of anger, resentment, and hatred? Because for the follower of Jesus, love is never words alone. And there is only one way that people know to whom we belong. Yesterday we had one of those bigger weddings in our church. Church was so packed that even where the choir sits was all filled in. Wish you could have been here to see our church. It was so beautiful. And I realized that most of these people were local. And I couldn't help to think, my God, when will the day come when we can tell our choir, stand aside, we need your seats. Oh, there's only one way that people will receive the message. Love is our primary witness to the world. And if the world cannot sense our love, we will still be called a church, but we will not be a true church. Definitely not a church of Jesus Christ. You would have failed, and I would have failed you. And it would be time for me to make room for another. Friends, there are some things in your life and in mine that we simply cannot fake. And there are no buts, ifs, or maybes. If we in this place love one another, not words alone, but love one another, the world will get the message. I promise you that. I speak of experience. Word will spread, and people will begin saying to one another, you can say about those folks whatever you may, but they are truly a church of Jesus Christ. Because in their deeds I've seen my Savior. In their words, He crossed my way and became my Lord. In the way they treat one another, I got a lesson in love. And then they will say, that's where I want to be as well. That's where I belong. And they will be here. I've seen that happen. They will be here. And they will be hungry. And they will be willing to share what they have. And they will notice and believe our love for one another. And many will first admire it. And then they will desire it. And then they will begin heeding our calls and our outreach and our invitations. And then these pews will become fuller and fuller Sunday after Sunday. You may ask, what's this all about? Well, after all, this was written in a time shortly after the earthly life of Jesus. And they needed no further object lessons after Golgotha. That was the supreme lesson in love. Because on a quiet day, on a cross just outside Jerusalem, they saw love in action. Love that was not words alone. And that day, the basic message of Christianity was born. And the echo has been reverberating through the ages and through the centuries. And now 2,000 years later, it's speaking to us. What did Jesus say? The Bible says He formulated this way. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. My God! No, Jesus! No! You cannot raise the bar that high. We can never, ever love like you do. Or could we? Could we, as God's people led by God's Spirit, just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. We are pilgrims on a journey. We are travelers on the road. We are here to help each other go the mile and bear the load. Won't you let me be your servant? Let me be as Christ to you. And pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. Amen.